Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Can I have your attention, please? My name is Hanif Shaykh Mashoni Hawkins, and I'd now like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding the seats for Sabbath services.
May I have your attention, please? Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Sonia Shobel Zafaniha, and I'd like to start serving you forever as priest starting very soon. It's a privilege and honor to introduce to you the sons and daughters who are now entering the sanctuary. I'd now like to turn over to our first speaker, Micaiah.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You can't be seen. Can we see how I've been teaching every one of you? The title of my speech is Prophecy is Coming to Pass Before Our Eyes. We have the great opportunity to see prophecy come right before our eyes. The prophet Daniel told us that there will be a knowledge increase in the last days. Please turn to Daniel 12:4, found on page 684. And it says, but you, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal them to the time of the end, and may we run to and fro, and knowledge will be increased. Cell phones and computers are some examples of the increase of knowledge Yahweh has given us. The computers are used to guide the nuclear bombs that will burn yet and run out. The 17th book of Ezekiel, chapter 32, verse 67. And it says, Yahweh has let them go for all those 4,000 years who are afraid to do whatever they want to do. He says, this is how it's going to wind up. There will be a knowledge, there will be a burden that's going to destroy the wicked. There will be ashes on your feet before that heat. Predicting the nuclear bombs that could burn the end and run out. That showed in Revelation 18. Should we not believe they're going to use the nuclear bombs? It was prophesied about thousands of years before it was made or started. It was started in 1934. Here's one. With the prophesied increase of knowledge, that's Daniel 12. That also started with the computers in 1934. All three of those according to the same year. Can you tap that someone? Please turn to Isaiah 24, verse 6, found on page 544. And it says, because of this, the curse has devoured the earth, and they who dwell therein are desolate. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned and few men left. How is the earth going to be burned by the nuclear bombs that will burn the earth in 1 hour? Sin causes anger, confusion, just like it did with Cain. If we do not stop it, it leads to continual war, which is going to destroy the wicked. Please turn to Deuteronomy 28, verse 22 and 24, found on page 170. And it says, Yahweh will strike you with consumption, with a fever, with an inflammation, with scorching, and with scorching heat, and with the sword, with the blasting, and with the building, they will stay with you until you perish. Yahweh shall make the rain of your land powder and dust from heaven. It shall rain, it shall come down upon you until you are destroyed. The word sword means war. How is there going to be powder and dust? All the ashes from what is burned from the nuclear explosions goes into the air, and that's called nuclear fallout. We know that Yahweh doesn't cause this. Man is choosing this, and they will destroy themselves. While everything is burning up, there is still hope for those who are righteous. Please turn to 2 Peter 3, verse 12 through 13, found on page 963. And it says, you must look for and earnestly long for the day of Yahweh, because of which the heavens will be dissolved in fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Yahweh sparks these new lie. This whole world will burn and run out of mercy, and only those who reverence Yahweh and sit at the feet of the one that Yahweh sent years old heavens will accept the burning and destroy Yahweh's kingdom. Please turn to Malachi 4, verse 2, found on page 727. And it says, but for you who reverence my name, the light of righteousness will arise with healing in its wings, and you will go out leaping like calves released from the stall. This is saying that after the bomb drop, we are going to be rejoicing, and that is because Yahweh's way is coming. Please turn to Daniel 7, verse 27, found on page 679. Then the kingdoms and governments and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be given to the people of the saints, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all governments will serve and obey him. We will all be thankful when we see Yahweh's plan comes to pass. You can please stand and like to turn up.
It's now my privilege and honor to turn it over to Sunny Visual Label Bree Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. Peace be Yahweh with each and every one of you. The title of my speech today is Be Strong and Courageous. The reason why I chose this title is because living in the last 3.5 years, we tend to forget why we're called. I want to start out with the definition of courageous, or courage. It means not deterred by danger or pain, brave. So being fearful is the opposite of courageous. Courage is not the action of fear. And we can see in Exodus 20 where Moshe tells the people not to fear. Please turn to Exodus chapter 20. It's on page 61. Exodus 20, and look at verse 20. Moshe said to the people, "Do not fear, for Yahweh has come to test and prove you, so that the reverence of Yahweh is with you, so you do not commit sin." We all experience fear at times, but courage is the opposite, and that is what Yahweh is looking for. Please turn to Numbers. Numbers chapter 32. Page 140, and look at verse 7. Why do you discourage the people from going over to the land Yahweh has given them? You see, Satan's goal is to discourage us from entering Yahweh's kingdom, or land, as you see here in the scripture. Please turn to Yeshua, chapter 1. Yeshua chapter 1, and look at verse 6. Be strong and courageous, for you will lead these people and enable these people to inherit the land I promised on oath to their forefathers to give them. Yahweh is speaking to us at this time. We must be strong for the 2 billion. We must be strong to lead and guide. We have and respect each other to lead and guide nations who will be coming to learn righteousness. Please turn to Acts. Acts chapter 28 on page 8671, sorry. Acts 28, look at verse 15. And from there, when the brotherhood heard about us, they came as far as the forum of Appius and the three taverns to meet us. Then Shaul saw them, and he thanked Yahweh and took courage. That's why we need each other. At this time, standing unified in the laws of Yahweh, we become courageous. When we stand unified, we become encouraged, knowing Yahweh is in full control. As we see prophecies come in the past, our courage becomes stronger, knowing that we have the one sent, Yisrael Hawkins, to guide us in the path of righteousness. In closing, I would like to encourage everyone to be strong and courageous so that we can finish running this race to the kingdom that we are looking forward to. Yahweh bless your understanding. I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Please be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. About a month ago, Pastor called me. It was on a special day when we were all eating careless weed and grasshoppers. And Pastor called, and he was very, very excited. He said, get the camera guys and get down here right away. And so we started shuffling around, getting everybody together, and we had a few guys. And throughout the day, we took some video of what this was that we were looking at and that he was very excited about. I'm going to tell you what that is here in just a moment. But first, I'd like to talk a little bit about protection. Now, I've got, I think you can probably see that. Okay, protection. It's 5643, and it means a cover, secret, secretly, covert, secret place, keep that in mind, hiding place, covering. This is a King James word, disguiseth. Privily and protection. And it's from 5641, which is to conceal, hide, shelter, to hide ourselves, to take refuge. And it's a separation, a secret, close or absent. So a separation. Keep in mind, we were separated that day from the world. There's a couple scriptures that I'd like to look at real quick. And that's Psalms 27, 2 through 5. You can turn there if you would. Psalms 27, 2 through 5. And that's on page 443. Page 443. It says, when our foes came against us to eat our flesh, they stumbled back. Our enemies stumbled and fell. Our hearts shall have no fear, though a host should camp against us. Though war should though war should arise against us, we are confident in this. And one thing we desired of Yahweh, that we will seek after all the days of our life, that we might dwell in the house of Yahweh to see your beauty, inquire of you in your sanctuary. And here we go. In the time of trouble, you will hide us in your pavilion. In your house, in the secret place, you will hide us and you will set us high upon a rock. And of course, the secret place, if you look at the side note, means the protected place, which we are here at Abel, at the house of Yahweh. The protected place, meaning to defend and to hedge about. Now, there's many examples in scriptures of when this was done. Also, you remember when the Philistines, they were attacking the children of Israel, and they turned against each other and ran in confusion, bumping into each other and everything, and they were just scared. And they ended up just leaving the place. They were so scared. They were so fearful. Another time when Yahweh's power was shown and his protection was shown, when the children of Israel were told to do a certain thing and to walk a certain amount of times around the walls, and the walls of Jericho would fall down. And there's many examples in the scriptures of this. We can't really go into all of them at this time. But also in Micaiah 4:1, on page 705, it says, "But in the last days it will come to pass that the mountain, the promotion of the house of Yahweh, will be established in the chief of the nations, and it will be raised above all congregations, and all people will eventually flow to it." And so this house of Yahweh was established in these last days, in this time of trouble, and this is the place, the place of protection, his house, the house of Yahweh. We have the mark of Yahweh, so we get our protection from Yahweh. And remember Psalms 91, don't forget that, Psalms 91 on page 470 and 471. Of course, he who dwells in the secret place, remember it's a secret place, that protection of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We say to Yahweh, you are our refuge and our fortress, you are our Father, in you we will trust. And then it says, surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome, deadly pestilence, you know, these diseases. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings will you trust. His truth will be your shield and buckler. You will not be afraid of the terror of night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness. These things that we can't see at this time. You continue on in verse 8, it says, only with your eyes will you look and you will see the reward of the wicked. And in 10, it says, no evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your dwelling. Back to verse 9, of course, it's because we have made Yahweh our refuge and have come to the house of Yahweh, this place of protection. Well, what we have going on right now, and I'm going to get back to that in a minute about what Pastor was so excited about, but what we've got going on right now is the coronavirus. And if you look right here in one of the latest newsletters, or in the proofreading, Pastor says, Yahweh, the Heavenly Father, asked in honor of you concerning the virus. That's the title of this particular one. Inside the body, the coronavirus is even more sinister than scientists had realized. Now, isn't this usually the case, that along the way, scientists say it's one thing, and as time goes on, they realize it's something else? Usually, after the great overseer, Israel Hawkins, here at the house of Yahweh, has mentioned these things, and then science goes out and proves them right, proves Pastor right eventually. So it's more sinister than they had realized. And in the next paragraph, it says, sinister, yes, it was caused by mankind's rejecting the very law. So this is the cause of this coronavirus. There is no cure for it. It started in the exact time period shown in Yahweh's sacred scriptures and will end 5 months after the last person gets it, the last person with the mark of the beast. Here's just a few things to show you. Initially, it was thought by scientists that the coronavirus was a respiratory disease. And in fact, many are still holding on to that. But Pastor, in talking to him, he said, you know, it's in the blood. It's a blood disease. And sure enough, here it comes from several different sources. I'm just going to show a few. The coronavirus might be a blood vessel disease, which explains everything. And it says in April, blood clots emerged as one of the many mysterious systems. It's always a mystery to them that were attributed to COVID-19, a disease that had initially been thought to largely affect the lungs in the form of pneumonia. Well, since that has taken place, they are pulling together all the data that's emerging. It turns out this virus is probably, you know, again, it's mysterious. It's probably, it used to be thought to be respiratory, but a vasculotropic virus, meaning that it affects the blood vessels. Then there's, in some of the autopsies they're doing, they're finding the same thing, that it's turning out that it's the blood, the circulatory system that's been attacked. And one more, then we'll move on. New evidence suggests that the COVID-19 might actually be a blood vessel disease. It says, what's new? While early on, the COVID-19 was branded as a respiratory illness with its wide array of symptoms from the toes to the brain, it baffled the experts. Well, Israel Hawkins wasn't baffled by it. According to experts interviewed in an Elemental article, it's unprecedented that a respiratory illness could migrate outside the lungs, but new research suggests COVID-19 might actually be a blood vessel disease, which would explain all these mysterious symptoms. It goes on to say it's a vasculotropic virus, or a virus that attacks the blood vessels, and that's about all I've got time to read of that. But going back to this, the world's protection. Turn to Deuteronomy 32:38, if you would. 32:38, and that's on page 175. Then he will ask, where are your gods, Elohim, your rock in whom you trusted? Where are your gods, Elohim, who ate of your sacrifices and drank the wine of your drink offerings? Let your gods, your Elohim, rise up and help you. Let them be your protection. And of course, that's what they're doing. They're calling out to their gods. At this time, they are calling out, saying, help us, create this vaccine, you know. And, of course, they say they've got one or coming close to having one and so forth. But they're not going to get any help from their gods, as we know. The only help is here at the house of Yahweh. In Jeremiah 30:12-13, that's on page 598. For this is what Yahweh says, your affliction is incurable, your wound is severe. There is no one to plead your cause that you might be bound up and treated. You have no healing medicines. Look down to 15. Why do you cry about your affliction? Your disease is incurable because of the multitude of your iniquities. Again, this is what has caused this. Because your sins have increased, I have done these things. Well, of course, Yahweh didn't do it, but he allowed these things to take place. If you could play a clip, please. We got a short clip. It's about 20 seconds. Okay, so this is what Pastor was excited about. That morning, the Purple Martins were out there were many, many of them. In fact, that only catches like about a fourth of them. But they were all over the place, flying, swarming in, swooping in. They'd come back and sit for a while and then go out and do that again. Well, there were 400 Purple Martins counted on Melchizedek 13. That's a lot of birds, would you agree? Now, In Strong's, 400 is meat, food, eating, victuals, prey, food supply, and the food of wild animals. And I'll tell you what they were eating in a minute. But from 398 is to eat, devour, and consume. Now, you might remember also that we were eating and consuming also that day the careless weed and the grasshoppers. And what these purple martins were consuming is mosquitoes. Every day, now this is their main food, and every day, now remember, mosquitoes suck the blood, right? And this is a blood disease, this COVID-19. So they don't bother the bees. They eat the mosquitoes and some other insects. These martins fly off a mile south, a mile east, a mile west, and a mile north. So they've got an area around the house of Yahweh covered. So everyone in the house of Yahweh is covered by this protection that the martins offer. And this is what Pastor was excited about. He saw this taking place, and he said, you know, this could be our protection. Yahweh is protecting us from these mosquitoes, from this blood disease, from these viruses, this COVID-19. So everyone with a martin house nearby does have some protection also in that mile range. And it's highly suggested that you do get a martin house and have available. Now, don't run off to the store and go buying things. All you have to do is put your order in at the South office, and it'll be brought to you. How about that? So, now these martins, they don't leave until all the mosquitoes are gone. And even the area outside of the city of Israel, those martins that are out there are helping a little bit too, to cover us and to protect us. So, try to get this martin box. And remember, they are helping us. Pastor was very, very excited when he saw all these martins down there. And that sounds like a lot, but it's probably just a small amount when you consider. Because I would you could have seen all the martins that were flying around. It was truly amazing. So if you could all please stand. You know, remember those grasshoppers, too, the grasshoppers we were eating that day. These grasshoppers, it's like it's their job to get inside us and be part of that work. I know Pastor showed me a bunch of grasshoppers that were laying on the ground that someone had dumped out, and it was right there back by the garage, and he was standing there, and on the corner of the concrete it says, "Praise Yahweh." Well, these grasshoppers seemed to be leaving the pile they were in and going over towards that Praise Yahweh. It was actually an amazing sight. They wanted to be part of this work really a lot. So if you'll all please stand, I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker, the great Deacon Antithea Hawkins. Praise Yahweh.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. You can be seated. Yahweh's peace be with each and every one. On this great Shabbat, I'm continuing, and also on, you know, uplifting and looking at our faith, keeping the faith. If you want to title this, is Pride versus Humility, number 3, and keeping the faith. I want to read something here. This is from 2016, the 8th Roman month, the newsletter. Okay. Say, no unity in the United States. What I want to read here is that the purpose for the creation of mankind. Yahweh's plan is to build a family of beings who enjoy life to the fullest in a perfectly righteous way of life, where righteous pleasures will abound, bringing to each peaceful moment pleasurable, exciting, deeply felt emotion you will desire never to end. Yahshua described both the forceful way brought forth by religion that do not follow the righteousness of Yahweh and the united way of peace. Now, you went on here describing that further. But I just want to get us part in our mind, the deep felt emotion, desire that we never had before. That is something we're looking forward to. A part of the plan and purpose for the creation of mankind. Yahweh created mankind. Now I'm going now to the second book of Israel. Okay? The second book of Israel. This is going on to perfection, chapter 28. I'm paraphrasing some of the first verses here. Shalom, everyone. This could possibly be the most important sermon you have heard in your life. I'm begging everyone to have a seat, be quiet, take notes. That's a great way of asking everyone to be quiet, have a seat, and take notes too. So this pastor's saying it here. And he was going through in Revelation chapter 19. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to continue here. Your salvation may be determined whether you believe this, believe Yahweh's instructions and follow it, or whether you will not believe it. Go your own way, practice your own doing, and create yourself a burning hell. In Revelation 19, we see a group of people who Yahweh has literally promised the world, the universe. He promised blessings on top of blessings to you. He promised a spiritual body that will live forever without the dragon, nag, and lust that we now experience in our flesh and blood bodies. He has promised us power and life and glory and honor, even above the Malachim. The servant of Yahweh, who reverence Yahweh, now he's speaking to a certain group, because this group has come, they have made it, they are reverencing Yahweh, they have learned to keep his laws by upholding every word of every law in the Holy Scriptures. These are the ones who have made it. He's speaking to them at this time. These are the ones praising him. These ones have absolutely turned their lives over to him, to Father Yahweh Almighty reign. Most honorable, most high. Can you get that? He reigns. He leads, he rules over us. He's our head, now and forever. If you make it into this part, it is going to be forever. His authority over you will never end. If you can't live with that, you simply can't live. All the cocky little bastards who say, I will never have anyone tell me what to do, won't be there. Because it is that haughtiness that is causing the trouble. Look at what a wonderful blessing we have promised here. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. The marriage of the Lamb he's talking about in Revelation chapter 19. The house of Yahweh, all the virgins who have been chosen have made themselves ready. Yes, these ones are ready. You won't be there if you don't turn completely to reverencing Yahweh. You can be there and enjoy this throughout all eternity if you put to sleep this lustful pride, arrogance, and lust that are governing your life now. And you see it's governing the world. That's why there's no unity. And mankind can't be in unity because they're living in sin. Sin, you can't have unity in sin that will last forever or bring about everlasting peace. It's only for whatever it could benefit that individual. But what Yahweh is offering us, the body, everything, that will last forever. Yahweh has brought us almost to this point. We are just about there. Remember, this was a sermon given back in 93, okay, 1993. This is in the second book of Israel, going on to perfection. But you can turn at any moment. You can still lose it by letting a root of bitterness spring up within you against one of Yahweh's laws or one of your brothers or sisters. These laws that govern our lives. This judgment that govern our lives. Which are against, if we break them, they are against us. Right? The microbes will be against us. They will testify against us. They are for you if you turn to Yahweh. All these blessings are here for us if we turn to Yahweh. I think that's a beautiful thing. Now, I entitled this, again, part three of Pride versus Humility and Keeping the Faith, because more than ever, we have to examine ourselves and be determined in our minds and our hearts to endure and be more determined than ever to see it through, to stay focused, to stay on the path that Yahweh has set for us to be on. And it's a real beautiful thing. Talking about pride, I remember the first time I got fired from a job. This was in the 90s. You know, I thought I was a top notch. I thought I was the man. I couldn't tell me anything. You know, who's going to fire me? And the supervisor asked me to do something that morning. I already worked that night. I worked third shift for the time. And that morning, I was still there, over 12 hours already. And you see that mentality? You know, you work it, you're so many hours, and you think it's time, it's my time now, right? It's my leisure time. I didn't have that quiet down in me yet. I'm still working on that too. So he asked me to do something and I refused. That's called insubordination, right? So I got fired. And I thought to myself, I said, you can't fire me. You know? Me and the store manager is best friends. You're not going to fire me. You're just a peon. So I waited for the store manager to come in. And I went and talked to him. Long story short, I was the straw that broke the camel's back. If you know what I mean. So he couldn't help me. So I went home with all this stress, you know, pretty sure my wife would understand the situation. If anybody would, she would. And I went, I said, I got fired. And she looked at me, well, the baby needs pampers. That was it. The baby needs pampers, you know. We just had a newborn. I was like, what? I just told you I got fired. You should be supporting me here. You should have my back. And she did. I just didn't quite grasp it yet, but that was the strength and encouragement I needed at that time to stay focused, to understand I need to get back out there to do what needs to be done to take care of your family. Sometimes we hit bumpy roads. Yahweh is in full control. In the mark of the beast, on page 205, let's think about Yahshua, the return of Yahshua. Before Yahshua returned, it said here in Acts chapter 3, let's turn to Acts chapter 3. I want to read this first. Verse 20 and 21. And that he may send Yahshua, the Messiah, who preached to you, whom the heaven must retain. You know, this being learn to restrain ourselves. Restrain is one of the great tools, the great abilities of a leader, a true leader, a positive leader. Until the time of restoration of all things about which Yahweh spoke by the mouth of his holy prophet since the world began. Now, must retain until, this means Yahshua must stay in heaven until the time the kingdom of Yahweh will be reconstituted on earth. A lot of this is already taking place by the reestablishment of Yahweh in these last days, by our great pastor and overseer Israel Abel Hawkins. Yahweh's plan from the beginning was for Yahshua to come to die for our sins, then to receive into heaven for a time. It was taught by many prophets that before the second coming of Yahshua, the world would be in total disruption. There would be no peace at all upon the planet. When Yahshua returned as King of Kings, ruler of rulers, he will abolish all the human misrule and establish the kingdom of Yahweh to rule this earth for 1,000 years. And that's another period of where we're going to be training again, going through more training. Our training is not going to be finished. If you think about, Pastor said, how advanced we are, and that we will never catch up. Definitely we'll never catch up with Yahweh, with Yahshua, but not even our pastor. But we are still way ahead on where we come in our learning. I want to read this here. It said, this is a a paraphrase of Yohanan Mark 10:31. Don't have to turn there. Yahshua made a description, a declaration about life in the age to come. Okay, eternity. Those who thought they have won will tragically discover they were running the race in the wrong direction. That pride could really blind us. And have lost those thought left behind. Those who thought they were left behind, you might be going through your struggles, going through your pain. You need to be thankful for that. We need to be thankful for these blessings, this honor. It's a beautiful thing because Yahshua became acquainted with suffering. And look where he at now. Those who thought left behind will win the prize. Among those most surprised, those with an insolent pride or a narcissist, an insolent pride. Everyone, we have to root out this root of bitterness. See the value in each other and focus on pulling the value out. That is what Yahweh is doing. He's not scratching his head. I wonder what we're going to do now. These people are going to never get it right. No, he's not doing it at all. He is in perfect control. He knows everyone's ability, how much they could endure and handle and how much they can't. He knows it. More than you even know it. More than I know it. He said, he doesn't give you what you can't. I'm going to say it again. He doesn't give you what you can't. He doesn't give you more than what you can bear. His yoke is light. Easy. Easy to carry. I want to read this here. A snake entered a carpentry shop. As it crawled through the corner, it went through a saw and hurt itself a little bit. Think about this, right? I picture the snake. And he's going through a shop on a saw. He caught himself on a saw, okay? At that time, he turned and bit the saw. And biting the saw, he hurt himself more. He hurt his mouth and everything. Then, not understanding what was taking place to him and thinking that the saw was attacking him, he decided to roll around the saw and wanted to suffocate it. Think about it. What do you think occurred with that snake? So he started to suffocate his saw, and his body was shaking with all his strength. The snake ended up being killed by the saw. The moral of this is sometimes we react in anger, thinking about hurting those who hurt us, but we are only hurting ourselves. In life, sometimes it's better to ignore situations, people, offenses, because the consequences can be irreversible and catastrophic. Our life is way more important. What Yahweh is setting before us, this opportunity we have to be His sons and daughters, to be a part of this everlasting family. Keep the faith, hold fast the faith that was once delivered to all the saints. That we are now blessed to be a part of, brothers and sisters. And don't give in to anything that will distract that. We all have to work. All we have is each other. At this time, if you all please stand. I'd like to turn over to the next speaker, the great Kohan Kenneth Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everybody. Please be seated. Yeah, that was some great first speakers there because, you know, one of the things that I'd like to go ahead and cover today is becoming acceptable in the sight of Yahweh. You know, and actually each speaker, if you go back and you listen to the sermon, they talked about it, you know, even from the first with Young Bree, you know, it's very, very important that we be acceptable to Yahweh, you know, and this is the differentiation between us and the world. Because Yahweh doesn't acknowledge the works of the world. He only acknowledges the work of the house of Yahweh, okay? And, of course, the world is far from being anywhere close to where we're at in knowledge and understanding. Just like the last speaker mentioned, You know, we are just very, very much advanced in righteousness. Okay, so if everyone would please, first let's go ahead and turn over to Psalm 19 on page 441. Psalm 19. And keeping all of this in mind, you know, about what it is to be acceptable in Yahweh's sight. Okay, because, you know, just think about it, you know, especially for those of us that have been here for a while. You know, I know one thing I thought about, you know, is before being called to the house of Yahweh, you know, we were very, very limited in knowledge. Yes, we knew some morality, I'll say that, you know, some things that the world considers to be the right thing to do, but also a lot of what the world teaches in being the right thing to do is evil. Okay, so in Psalm 19, in verse 14, let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be ones acceptable in your sight, O Yahweh, our rock and our redeemer. Now, one thing I thought about, you know, is that, you know, it's easy to see that Yahweh has already accepted us. You know, if you think about it, he's created us in the way of creation. You know, he has accepted the things that he knew that we were going to fall short in. He knew the things that we were going to overcome and are overcoming. And, you know, this is where you can kind of get the gist of how Yahweh is compassionate and how he is patient and long-suffering, you know. But, you know, in that, becoming educated in the laws of Yahweh allow us to be acceptable. You know, think about it there. Let the words of our mouths, you know, so what are the words of our mouths? You know, they're the laws of Yahweh. You know, I mean, there's a side note there that goes to 1 Yochanan 3:4. You know, we know and we've been taught from the beginning, you know, sin is a transgression of Yahweh's laws. You know, if we keep Yahweh's laws, we learn to reverence him. We become righteous. And then by loving Yahweh's laws, we actually become holy as Yahweh is holy. Okay, so be turning over to Romans 12. Romans 12. So we're going to see how we can be as Yahweh himself on page 883. Page 883. Becoming as Yahweh is. Because this is our ultimate goal, you know. If you think about the way that Yahweh has created us, you know, we're all unique, you know, just like the fingers on our hands, you know. I mean, if somebody had a toe that looked like a finger, you know, well, then that wouldn't be right. Of course, you know, from the curses of the world, we can see that this is actually taking place. You know, everyone has to have a place in the great house of Yahweh. You know, we've got to be unique in our talents, because if not, Yahweh could have created robotic type beings with no personality. You know, it's like Pastor has taught us, we'll always have personality. So in Romans 12, let's start at verse 9, okay? And of course, it's entitled, Behave Like Yahweh Himself. Love without hypocrisy. And again, you know that what love is, you know, love is the keeping of Yahweh's laws. Abhor that which is evil. Okay? In other words, we've been taught from day one to hate sin. You know, not the person. You know, and Pastor recently talked about, you know, how important it is, as Yahshua even gave us the greatest example, about loving our enemy. You know, because they know not what they do. You know, we were in that same boat, you know, before we came to the house of Yahweh. Okay? We're going to read to, let's go ahead and read to 21. So be kindly affectionate to one another. Show love and concern and compassion for one another. This is how we become acceptable in Yahweh's sight. with brotherly love and honor, showing difference, respect, honor to one another. You know, we should always be willing to show respect for one another. Just think about what's going on in the world today. You know, there is no respect in the world today. You know, I mean, even to what the world would consider, you know, to be right by keeping the laws of the land, they don't. You know, we see the bringing down of what is law enforcement, you know, which is something that has got to be there. You know, even in Yahweh's kingdom, there will be people that will actually keep and actually guard and oversee those, making sure that Yahweh's law is kept. Okay? Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving Yahweh, rejoicing in hope. You know, we got to do that. You know, hope is the faith. You know, if we didn't have the faith, we wouldn't have hope, and vice versa. You know, and Yahweh's prophecies being fulfilled. And, of course, that the first will be last, and the last will be first, as we know that that all pertains to the resurrection and even our heavenly offices. Continuing on there, contributing to the needs of the saints, that's servitude, okay? Bless those who persecute you, and that's one of the things that we're going to really have to understand, because persecution is around the corner. You know, it's always been there. It's not going to go away, you know, all the way until the door is closed, just as it was with Noah. Persecution existed, okay? Bless in this way, bless those enemies that do not know what they do, you know, and bringing forth their persecution. And do not curse, you know, don't curse them, you know, they're part of Yahweh's will too, you know, for our betterment. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep, you know, and that, you know, brings to mind, you know, that there's a time and a season by everything, you know. In this way, you know, we learn to be as Yahweh is. Yahweh does see things that I'm sure at some point in time, you know, he knows that it was going to take place, but also he sees that it's a detriment, you know, to mankind. Okay, let's drop down to verse 18. If it is possible, as far as it depends upon you, live peaceably with all men. And we know that we have to do this, you know, even in our work relationships, you know, for those that are working in the world, you know, we have to live peaceable. We've got to be a righteous example even before those in the world. Okay, go to verse 20. Therefore, if your enemy hungers, feed him. Now, what do we feed him? You know, we feed him the laws of Yahweh by our righteous example. Okay, if he thirsts in the same way, give him drink. You know, these things have all been taught in the house of Yahweh from the very beginning. Okay, you will heap coals of fire on his head. In other words, that guilt is going to come upon those that see that. You know, I know for myself, you know, there are some people that really have a cruel, I hate to say it, you know, but like a cruel outlook on what they see in doing evil. But there are some that actually, through observation, when they see evil being done, they have compassion upon that person that's standing up for righteousness. And that's where we'll be. You know, we have to stand up for righteousness, even if it means standing by ourselves. Okay, in verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with righteousness. Okay, I'd like to read out of the Peaceful Solution Acceptance book. It's in the beginning. It's in chapter 1, where it talks about, you know, how we can be positive and realistic and set the goals of what we can do, you know. In other words, just like this part right here in the teacher's manual, it says the cans and cannots of life. There are things that we're not going to be able to change. You know what I mean? Now, you know, like the example it gives here, you know, we can't change our physical way. Yahweh has created us unique. Now, the doctors see different. You know, the doctors of the world, they like to change people up because why? They want to take the place of the Creator. You know, they want to do something that is not given unto them to do. Okay, so the cans and cannots of life. There will be things in your life that you will not be able to change, and there will be things that you can. You know, these are the things that we need to do through conversion. You know, we see a fault in our life, we need to go in and correct it. Okay? When you are able to make a distinction between the two, you know, what can be changed and what cannot be changed, and focus on what you can change yourself. Now, we're looking at this individually. You will demonstrate acceptance of who you are as a unique person. You know, it's very, very simple about how our actions go on to others. And what they see, if we're a righteous example, they'll accept. Okay, down a little bit further, it says, our character, attitude, intellect, and the way in which we interact with others are all things we can change and improve. You know, this should be our focus when we wake up in the morning and actually when we go to bed at night also. You know, we need to focus on what we can improve on in our lives. You know, do a self-evaluation if you can, you know, right there whenever you say your prayers before you go to bed at night. Same thing when you wake up in the morning. Let's see here. Okay, in fact, not only can we improve these things about ourselves, but we should, or we can actually say we must. Okay, so making these changes, you know, it's going to show us what Yahweh's will is. Okay, so if you would, be turning over to page 919 in the book of Yahweh, in Ephesians 5, 919. Ephesians 5, because, you know, we have to know what the will of Yahweh is, okay? We're going to go ahead and read in Ephesians 5, verses 8 to 10. Okay, for you were once darkness. You know, we all have came out of the sin-sick world. Now, those that were born in the house of Yahweh, the darkness you know, is out of their genes. You know, it comes from the genetics of not only their parents, but, of course, 4 and 5 generations back. Okay, so no one is exempt, okay, even in the children. But now you are light, you know, as the laws of Yahweh have been taught to us, as Yahweh is. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light, and, of course, this is what comes about through being righteous and actually learning to teach righteousness, for the fruit of the life is namely all holiness, righteousness, and truth. And the point that I wanted to make there is there's only one person on this earth that has taught us what holiness is. You know, and I know we all remember righteousness is keeping Yahweh's laws, but learning to love Yahweh's laws is holiness. That's what Yahweh is. You know, he's wrapped up, like Pastor said, in that 613 law talit. So in this, proving what is acceptable to Yahweh. Okay, it's acceptable to Yahweh that we keep his laws, we learn to love his laws, and that is the will of Yahweh. Okay? And now this is the warning here, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, even though it is shameful to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. And you could actually look up in the beginning of chapter 5, and of course it talks about, you know, a lot of the sins of the world, and of course, you know, when these things come about, one of the ways in which you can expose them is if for some reason or another somebody gets a little bit of a a thought or they've seen something, even a young child, and they don't really understand what this is, go ahead and explain it to them, but do it in a righteous way. You know, that these things bring harm to the body. They don't bring health and being positive in any way. Let's go down to verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly. You know, this is what comes about through attaining righteousness. We should always seek to attain righteousness and, of course, refuse evil. And in all of these ways, we become acceptable in the sight of Yahweh. And also, it does bring about a unity. You know, we don't want to be in a unity with the world. We want to be in a unity with Yahweh's laws, with all of our brothers and sisters. Okay, redeeming the time, you know, because the time is short. Things are getting closer and closer because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise. All of this wisdom that we have been taught from the house of Yahweh, we need to apply it in our very lives. But understanding what the will of Yahweh is that we keep his laws and we learn to love his laws. Okay? Let's see here. Go to verse 20. Always giving thanks for all things to Yahweh the Father by the authority of our head, Yahshua Messiah. So see there, you could see, we can see in this example that Yahshua has given us that, again, no one in the world could actually explain it, interpret it, teach it, other than our great pastor and overseer, you know, the great Kohen Yeshua Abel Hawkins, because he has been called into that office, into that position to do so. So be thankful. Let's go quickly over to Psalm 11 on page 438. Let's see here, 438, Psalm 11, and learning, how important it is to be thankful. Okay, 438. Okay, so we're going to read, you know, and again, keep in mind adversity, persecution, you know, because who is with us? You know, Yahweh is with us. He's only with the house of Yahweh. It doesn't matter, you know, what takes place. We have to know that we have to fill our part. And being a servant not only to Yahweh and to Yahshua and to Yisro, but to each and every one of the brethren. Okay, so we're going to read in in Psalm 11, we're going to read verses 1 through 7. Okay? In you, Yahweh, we put our trust. If we don't put our trust in Yahweh, we won't make it. You know, I could tell you that right now. You know, because, you know, adversity is going to come along, and for one reason or another, you know, a test is going to be put there, that for one reason or another you feel that you can't overcome it. Okay, but Yahweh doesn't give us anything more than what we can handle. You know, we have to do what's required in order to correct it. You know, and a lot of it is within our genetics. You know, I mean, we've all had these things passed down to us that create, you know, illegal or unrighteous activities in our lives. Okay, how can you say to us, flee as a bird to your mountain? And the first thing that comes to my mind with that is this upcoming feast, you know, the gathering, the Feast of Tabernacles. You know, we should already be making feast preparations. I could tell you all of the facilities in the house of Yahweh are. So individually, to be in unity with the house of Yahweh, we need to be doing the same thing. We need to be making the preparations, you know, especially if you're working in the world, make sure your time is off. You know, if your time is not off, well then, you know, it may be that Yahweh wants you to move on, you know. Make the preparations for your travel, okay? Verse 2, for our foes bend their bows, yes, they're waiting, they're fighting every day. Rioting and unlawfulness is taking place in the world every day. This is the only peaceful place in the world today because it's being taught the laws of Yahweh, which bring forth peace. Okay, let's see here. In verse 4, Yahweh is in his holy sanctuary. Yahweh's throne is in heaven. Yahweh's eyes do see all. And that's what I wanted to bring forth, you know, in our acceptance to Yahweh. You know, he sees our every action, actually even before the choice comes up. And he relies on us to make the right choice. And that's to apply the law in that situation. His eyelids try the children of men. His eyes see things. He tests the children of men. We know that these are all talking about us in our day-to-day tests and trials. Yahweh examines the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence, he hates. Not the person himself, you know. What it is he hates that sin. You know, that sin, you know, is what we need to hate. You know, don't get into this situation of hating that person or thinking things that you want harm to come to that person. No, nothing is going to come to that person outside of Yahweh's will. Okay, but in Yahweh's will, we need to make sure that we're making the right choice and therefore bringing forth love to that person, you know, by a righteous example. And I'm speaking for those that choose to do violence and of course, come against the house. Yahweh rains snares, brimstone, fire, and tempest, scorching wind. And we know that this is the actual, you know, nuclear war that's coming in this sixth and seventh plague. Upon the wicked ones, this is in the portion of their cup to be. Why? Because like Pastor has taught us, whoever lives by the sword, they must. Think about it now. They must die by the sword. Okay? For Yahweh is righteous. He loves righteousness from his own. Yahweh's face beholds all those upright in heart. So, you know, we have to choose to be righteous. Okay? Go back to the acceptance book real quick here. On page 33 in the acceptance book, let's see here. Okay, it's entitled, Make a Difference, Make a Choice. Now that you know how damaging hatred and violence and intolerance are, which we see it on the news every day, okay, you have a responsibility to share this knowledge with others and to stand up for acceptance even when others insist on an attitude of intolerance. You know, we need to be acceptable to others and to ourselves. We need to know and understand what the right choice is. Standing up for acceptance of others in the face of opposition means having determination, having courage. Just think about our first speaker there. You know, to be of great courage and having compassion. It also means behaving in a way that demonstrates respect for all people. It's very, very important that we're respectful to others. Now, I wanted to bring unity into this. Let's look at page 918. Let's go back to the book of Yahweh real quick. Page 918. Let's see here, page 918. We're going to be in Ephesians 4. Okay, 918, Ephesians 4. Okay, let's start at verse 3. Endeavoring with utmost diligence and zeal to keep the unity of the Spirit. Okay, and we know what the Spirit is. The Spirit is the laws of Yahweh. Okay? In the bond of peace, and that's all taught in this great Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, okay? There's one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Father, one faith, one baptism. Yahweh is one, and you know what? He is the Father of all, okay? who is above all, through all, and in you all. And one of the things that you should think about there, if Yahweh is the Father of all, you know, even our enemies, you know, even our enemies, we need to show or be a righteous example before. Let's see here. Let's go a little bit further down. Let's see here. Okay, let's look at the gifts, okay, because it talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And, of course, Spirit Holy, this is the unity that we have to be in. And he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some preachers of the message of the kingdom of Yahweh, and some pastors, and that word means shepherds, and tenders of the flock. And we have to be a great teacher, a great pastor over our individual flocks. As supervisors, you know, we should always look at how we can make the job go better. You know, we got to do this, you know, and when adversity comes in, you know, a trial comes in there, you know, try not to get angry, you know, angry. I know myself, I get disappointed in myself, you know, whenever something comes about, you know, that I get angry about, you know. But let's go ahead and finish there. Let's see here. So, and he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some preachers of the message of the kingdom of Yahweh, and some pastors and teachers. And that's what we're all striving to be, teachers of righteousness. So if everyone would please stand, I have the great opportunity to introduce our next speaker, the great Kohan Michael Hawkins. I made a mistake. It's the great Kohan Shamil Hawkins. There you go.
Shabbat Shalom. If you will, be turning to page 814, the Book of Yochanan, chapter 1. And I pray that the peace of Yahweh is with each and every one of you. We're going to look at verses 6 through 9. It says, there was a man sent from Yahweh whose name was Yochanan. Yochanan came as a witness that he might testify of the light, that all through it, the light, might believe. Not that he was the light, but that he was sent to testify of the light. That was the true light which lights the way to the kingdom for every man that comes into the world. The title of my sermon is Our Testimony is Key. If you will, page 482, Psalm 119. I'd like to prove to you that even in the scriptures it talks about how important testimonies are. In Psalm 119:2, it says, blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek Yahweh with their whole heart. And look over at verse 24. It says, your testimonies are our delight and our counselors to guide us in your ways. And look at note E. It says, the prophecies that tell us your judgments are coming soon. Look at verse 36. It says, incline our hearts, minds, and understanding to your testimonies, but not to covetousness. Verse 59. We consider our ways and retraced our steps to obey your testimonies. Verse 79. As those who reverence you turn to us so they might know your testimonies. In verse 88, restore us to life according to your loving kindness so we might keep the testimony of your mouth. In verse 95, the wicked lie in wait for us to destroy us, but we consider and understand your testimonies. Look at verse 111. Says, your testimonies we have taken as our inheritance forever, for they are the rejoicing of our hearts. There's two more. 129. Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, our souls keep them, Yahweh. And the last one of these is 138. It says, your testimonies that you command are righteous and very faithful. You know, I read these scriptures, and there are plenty others, so that I could confirm to you that you would have assurance that testimonies are very important in and for the kingdom of Yahweh, for each and every one of us. And we must follow the testimonies of the men and women of old and new, as pastor is teaching them to us. You know, if we think of the book of Yahweh as a legal document and not just a storybook, it'll help us to understand what's written here in ways that we might not have ever thought about. And for an example, think about every time we want something or we need something here at the house of Yahweh. We put in a work order. Why? We put in a work order so that we can keep a record of what was done, the reason it was done, who authorized it to be done, who did it, when they completed that work order, and was the customer satisfied? That's all as a testimony of the work that was done. So if you keep that concept in your mind, turn to page 832. Sorry for the noise there. Yochanan 14, 24 through 31. He says, he who does not love me does not keep my sayings. Now the words which you hear, the law and the prophets, is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while still present with you. But the Comforter, the Spirit Holy, which Yahweh will send in my name, Yahweh's Spirit Holy will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I have said to you. Peace I leave to you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard that I told you, I go away, but come again to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. So now I have told you before it comes to pass, in order that when it does come to pass, you might believe. After this, I will not talk much with you, for the evil, beastly governmental system, that world order that was from the beginning, is coming. It has nothing to do with me. But the world must know that I love the Father, so I must do just as the Father commanded me. Arise, let us go from here. And if you look over at the next page, Yochanan 15, 18 through 27, he says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would have loved its own. But because you are not part of the world, for I have chosen you out of the world, for this reason, the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you? A servant is not greater than his ruler. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you because of my name, for they do not know who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have had their sins revealed. But now they have no cloak, no covering for their sins. He who hates me also hates my Father. If I had not done among them the works which no other man did, they would not have had sin. But now they have both seen these works and have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their scriptures. They hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter has come, which I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, Yahweh's Spirit, will testify about me. And you must also testify, because you will work with me in power. Therefore, you must bring forth the man and be hated and endure it as a test. As a test for the kingdom. Over the last few years, listening to the news, watching the news, and the politicians talking, I noticed a few patterns that stand out, at least in my mind. And I want us to all realize that everything that is going on in the world right now, to us, against us, and for us, it's required. Without these things taking place, we wouldn't be able to come to perfection. We're here for a very specific reason, to witness what sin brings at its end or at its peak. Not to participate in the sin, but to witness it so we would have a testimony of it for all generations from this time forward. What we're witnessing since we've come to the house of Yahweh is for the perfecting of those that come after us. We'll be teaching them about living through this great nuclear age. The testimony we're writing now can and will be used in the future. When we see a righteous act or growth in our brother or our sister, a righteous task that's been completed, write about it in your testimony for future generations to experience how we progress to perfection, lifted one another above ourselves. As we perform our righteous acts, someone else will write about that for us. Now, in these two patterns that I see, we all know that there's two kingdoms. One is Yahweh's house of truth, and the other belongs to Satan and has everything but the truth. Think about all the chaos that's been going on for months now. It's been a lot longer than that, but this most recent time, the last months, all that chaos that's going on in the world. The adversary knows. The adversary of Yahweh knows that she has but a short time left. She's pulling out all the stops to destroy mankind. And most of all, the house of Yahweh. The faith. Now I'm going to mention a word in a moment. And I don't want you to just gloss over that word. I want you to think about what this word means. That word is terrorism. Terrorism has a singular goal. Do you know what it is? It's to cause terror and fear. Now, there's a reason that this tactic is used. Because fear undermines faith. Remember a while back when Pastor was taken from us for a time? Some were fearful, and they left the house of Yahweh. The faith it undermines is the establishment of Yahweh's perfect government. But there's something really important that we need to realize, we need to understand. Terrorism is not an expression of rage. It's not an expression of discontent or even from oppression. Terrorism is a political weapon. It's used to undermine people's faith in their government, in their leaders, and in their laws. Terrorism removes faith from all peoples. And I thought about this for a while. And I remembered something President Bush said after 9/11. He declared a war on terror. And as I thought about that, I started thinking also about the mystery religion, the Vatican, which is ruled by Satan. And I thought about terrorism and what it was used for and why. It's a political weapon. It's a political weapon of mass destruction. But as I thought about war on terror, it sort of kind of sounded like something new. But then it hit me. He didn't declare a war on terror. He declared a war of terror if you don't follow after the first beast. He declared a war of terror that had begun. The Crusades began anew. And this is what we've been living through ever since. The new or renewed Crusades, the war of terror, just like in the days of old. Who can make war with the beast? And if you will, turn to page 906. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to read verses 3 through 6. It says, "For we walk, we live in the flesh. We do not wage war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in Yahweh for pulling down strongholds, demolishing arguments and destroying every high thing that exalts itself against the one who is Yahweh, bringing under control every thought into the obedience as the Messiah, and being in readiness to punish all disobedience once your obedience is complete." Think about all of the different things that the world is, and the governments of the world, are using terrorism for. They're using the coronavirus right now. They're battling against the economies of all nations. There's a purpose. There's a plan. How could all of this be going on throughout the whole world if it wasn't following some type of plan? You heard a number of the brothers talk today. Be strong. Be courageous. Don't fear. You have your own testimony to help strengthen you. The things that you witness, that I witness, that we all witness about one another. Don't allow what's taking place in the world. Don't allow that to weaken you, but use it to strengthen you. Yeshua said, "I tell you of these things before they come to pass, so that when they do take place, you'll remember that I told you." If you think about the Holy Scriptures as a legal document, full of the testimony of the witnesses that endured and went through the things that they've endured and went through in their time, it should strengthen us. Praise Yahweh. There's nothing in the world that they can do to us that should weaken us. Nothing. We are that protected place. I am the house of Yahweh. I am Israel. That's who we are. It's who we've been bred and are being trained to be. Yahweh, make us who you want us to be, because that's who we want to be. That's what we're doing. It's not what's going to be done. It'll continue. Our growth will continue. But it's already started. It's already being done. There's another pattern that I've noticed. Everything can and must, in the world, everything can and must be debated. And a consensus must be agreed upon. Well, that's democracy. Pure democracy. But they don't even follow those rules. What we're seeing out there, those people aren't angry. They're bought and paid for. They're creating all of this terror, saying that things have to be, they must be debated. Whether it's a Confederate flag, whether it's a history being wiped out. Isn't that what we read about in Scripture with King Nebuchadnezzar and some of the other kings, the Romans? They were expert at that. This is following a plan. Out in the world, I guess everything must be debated, but not in the house of Yahweh. Never. We have vowed a vow to obey the every word that proceeds from the mouth of Yahweh. Nothing of Yahweh can or should be debated to determine its truth. Acceptance, belief, and obedience are what proves Yahweh is who and what He says He is, and that He can and will fulfill every prophecy. And it's our choice if it's with us or without us. Don't fear. The testimonies are our inheritance. Remember, we've been taught righteousness for these last 40 years, living in the wilderness of people. This last 40 years. Terrorism and debate are weapons of mass destruction. They will be used as some of the weapons to kill 4/5 of the world's population. And they're being used to undermine the faith each one of us has in the perfect form of government that Yahweh has established here on this earth using His last day's witness, Yisrael Abel Hawkins. Terrorism is used to undermine our faith and debate to deceive us into thinking there are no absolute truths. Remember, has Yahweh truly said? Turn to page 986, Book of Revelation, the last chapter, 22:12-21. He says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man, every woman, every child, according as his work will be. I'm the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who keep his laws, that they might have right to the tree of life, and might enter in through the gates into the city. For outside are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and worshippers of gods and everyone who professes to love, yet practices breaking the law. I, Yeshua, have sent my Moloch to testify to you these things in the congregations of the house of Yahweh. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who is thirsty come. And whoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man will add to these things, Yahweh will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man will take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, Yahweh will take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He who testifies these things says, surely I come quickly, hallelujah, Yahweh. Might this be so? Come, Yeshua Messiah. The love, the Ahab of our King Yeshua Messiah, be with you all. There are books being written. Our testimony, which is what Yeshua, our honored high priest, our King, our mediator and defender, uses to defend us in the heavenly courts. What's been and being written in our books now? What testimony are we giving Yeshua to use to defend us in the heavenly courts? Because that's what he has to defend us with. The testimony that's written about our choices, the words we use, the acts we perform, those testimonies is what Yeshua has as our defender in the heavenly courts to defend us. Are we giving him everything that he needs to work with to defend us? We might all want to take a little time to think about that. I think we are. Pastor says we're 99% there. But every time I think about it, I think I'm farther away from the 99% than I am the 100. And with that, if you'll all please stand. It's my great honor and privilege to present to you the next speaker, the great Kahan Michael Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom. Please be seated. All right. Open up to, let's see, Exodus 19. You know, we've seen a lot, heard a lot about various things concerning Pastor, and last time I spoke, we talked about the sea of glass. This time I'd like to speak about Yahweh's voice in Scripture. Let's start off here in Yochanan chapter 1, verse 2. It says, in the beginning at Abel was the plan of Yahweh, and this plan at Abel was with Yahweh. Very important. With Yahweh, and this plan will come to pass at Abel. Very important words there. And the same plan was in the beginning with Yahweh. Now in Exodus 25, verse 40, it says, and see that you make them according to the pattern which was shown to you on the mountain. And that pattern is what we want to look at. Okay? You know, there's a little horn, a little worthless trumpet of Satan that's been around, of course, since the time of Cain, but Yahweh's great horn has always been around since the beginning of time as well. And Satan has hated, of course, and attacked that voice from the beginning with, has Yahweh indeed said, right? Let's look at Exodus 19 here, Exodus 19, verse 16. It says, on the third day in the morning, there was thunderings. Now, the King James Version says thunders. And lightning, and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of the shofar, King James Version says, the voice of the trumpet. The voice of the trumpet. Very important to remember. The voice of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people in the camp trembled. Now, tie all these scriptures in together, and you'll be able to see these things more clearly, that the last will be first, as the scripture says. This word thunder, or thunderings, it is number 6963, and it means to call aloud. It means a voice or a sound. Okay, notice that word voice. Now, in Exodus 19:19, it says, when the sound of the shofar, or as the King James says, the voice of the trumpet, sounded long and became louder and louder, Moshe spake, and the voice of Yahweh answered him by voice. The King James says, by a voice, okay? Now, so Yahweh, notice the answer by voice. Now, we know this is not, turn over to Yochanan chapter 5. We know this is not Yahweh's voice himself, because Yahweh himself has never spoken to anyone. And this is what Yeshua says in Yochanan 5, verse 37. On page 820, I don't use page numbers because I think everybody should know the scriptures by now, right? We have to find them. But Yochanan 5, verse 37, notice it says, and Father Yahweh himself, this is Yeshua speaking, who has sent me, testifies on my behalf. You have never heard his voice or at any time, nor his shape, seen his shape. Okay, so this voice that Moshe heard teaching him. We're going to let Scripture interpret Scripture. You always have to let Scripture interpret Scripture, okay, to know exactly what's going on here. And you see here that Yeshua says you never heard his voice. You never heard Yahweh's voice. No one, he never whispered in anybody's ears. He never spoke to the prophets and so forth directly, okay. In Exodus 20, verse 19, if you want to write this down, we're going to use the corrected version here. It says, and Yahweh came down to the house of Yahweh at Abel to teach his law. And Yahweh called Moshe to the house of Yahweh at Abel. And Moshe went up, and Yahweh revealed to him and them that an indisputable teacher who would understand all of these things would come and teach those he has called out. You notice that, an indisputable teacher. You can't dispute with Yahweh, you know. And the thing is, as it says, he would come and teach all those he has called out. All means all, doesn't it? Keep these things in mind. So we see verse 20 here. Go to Revelations chapter 1. Revelations chapter 1. Because we see here that this voice that Moshe spoke, okay, was the voice of this indisputable teacher. And, of course, this is the one, as it says, who would come. He would be the one sent, okay, to teach the called out ones. It's everybody who is called out. So, if you remember, we previously saw how that was accomplished through the Sea of Glass visions, right? And Yeshua has revealed this teacher, of course, to us in Revelation chapter 1. Look at verse 10. He says, I was in the Spirit, that is, he had the Spirit of righteousness, on the day of Yahweh, that great day. And I heard behind me a great voice as a trumpeter. A great voice as a trumpeter. You remember now, when Moshe went to receive the law, the trumpets began to sound louder and louder and louder, and the people feared the sound and so forth, right? It makes it sound like the whole mountain was blazing on fire, which, by the way, the archaeologists say that they found a mountain where all the top was burnt, and that had to be Mount Sinai, you know? But a great voice of a trumpeter, okay? That like the voice of our great teacher, right? Our great overseer. But notice, the great voice, okay? So he tells us that this is the messenger of Yahweh. If you look at Revelation chapter 10, Revelation 10, verse 7. Revelation 10, verse 7. Tie all these things together. Revelation 10, verse 7, and you'll see how it starts making more sense. Verse 7, he says, but in the days of, notice, the voice, okay, remember we saw that word voice, the voice of the seventh Moloch, when he will begin to sound, okay, when he begins to sound, the great secret of Yahweh will be finished as he declared to his servants, the prophets. Okay, so he declared this to his servants, the prophets. The word voice is number 5456, and it means to address like a person or a group of people. It comes from 5316, which means to lighten or to shine. So again, letting Scripture interpret Scripture, you see the word shine. Remember in Daniel chapter 3, verse 12, it says, the righteous will shine as teachers. So it shows that this Moloch teaches people. And then that word sound is number 4537, and it means to trumpet. That is to sound a blast. So you see, the same language that's used here is what Moshe heard when it says in Exodus 19:19 about how the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Well, that indisputable teacher taught him with greater and greater intensity. So as he blasted his voice like a trumpet, okay? Now, this indisputable teacher can't be disputed. This is something that Yahweh has set into motion long, long ago. Look over to Revelation chapter 4. Let's tie in a little bit more here. Revelation chapter 4. Remember, the last would be first. This is all this is set up, okay? Yahweh set all this stuff up long before. In Revelation 4, and flip over a couple pages, and just hold your finger there for Revelation 1, because we can compare Revelation 4 and Revelation 1. So in Revelation 4, it says, verse 1, and after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. Okay? And the first voice, that first trumpet, that first sound that was heard back in chapter 1. If you want to just hold your place, flip over to chapter 1 and look at verse 1 says, the revelation of Yeshua Messiah, which Yahweh gave to him to show his servants things which must come to pass And he sent and signified it through his Moloch, his servant Yochanan, to his servant Yochanan. Notice, it's through his Moloch, and it's things which must come to pass. Now go back to Revelation 4, verse 1. Because you see here what it says, after I looked and beheld, the door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which he heard back in chapter 1:1, okay, when he hears that, just as we just saw in Revelations about, there was to me, notice he says, it was as it were of a trumpet talking with me. A trumpet talking with me, which said, come up here, and I will show you things which must be after this. And that's exactly what Revelation 1:1 says about how he will show us things to come, okay? So you can see when you put this line upon line here, a little there, when you tie it all together, it all fits together. And it shows that the voice of the trumpeter is the one to show things to come, and that is the Moloch, the one that was sent, okay? The messenger that Yeshua used. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. And let's look at, connect this again with what Moshe was going through. Deuteronomy 5, verse 22 and 24 is what we're going to look at. Deuteronomy 5:22. I keep seeing Revelation. It's stuck in my head, I guess. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 22. Okay. These are the words that Yahweh proclaimed in a loud voice. Now remember, we know that this is not his voice, but he proclaimed in a loud voice to his whole congregation there on the mountain from the midst of the fire, the cloud, and the thick darkness. And he added nothing more, and then he wrote them on two stone tablets and gave them to him. Now, jump down to verse 24. And you said, surely Yahweh our Father has shown us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice from the midst of the fire. And today we have seen that a man can live even if Yahweh speaks to him. Well, now if they had lived while Yahweh spoke to them, then the scriptures would be false, because the scriptures tell you that they did not hear the actual voice of Yahweh himself, right? No one has actually heard the voice of Yahweh himself. Let's look at this. Exodus 33, verse 20, it says, but he said, you cannot see my face, for no one can see me and live. And that's exactly what you remember what Yeshua said in Yochanan 5:37. And the Father himself who has sent me testifies on my behalf, you have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And in Hebrews 1:1-2, Yahweh, who at various times and in different ways spoke in times past to our fathers through the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us through his Son. Okay, and of course we know how he's done that through his Son. He's done it through inspiring Israel Hawkins, and Israel Hawkins brings forth the word of Yahweh, being the one sent. And this is the reason why you've got to believe into the one sent, okay? Into, I-N-T-O. Not just believe in, but believe into. When you get home, look in the dictionary. Look up the word into and see the meaning of the word into, okay? That's a sermon in itself right there, the word into. So from this we know that that voice, turn over to Numbers chapter 7, Numbers chapter 7. From this we know that the voice that they heard was not Yahweh himself, because they wouldn't have been able to live if that was the case. As he said, no man could see my shape or hear my voice and actually live. But in number 7 here, let's see, in verse 89, number 7 verse 89, here's another clue to this understanding here. Number 7 verse 89, page 117. It says, when Moshe entered the tent of meeting to speak with Yahweh, he heard the voice of the one, okay? Notice, he heard the voice of one voice speaking to him from above the mercy seat on the Ark of the Testimony between the two cherubim. Now, there's two cherubims, but there's only one voice, okay? One spokesman. In this way, Yahweh spoke to Moshe, okay? So when he went in there and he seen this, and he heard his voice speaking and so forth, okay? Remember, it was in the authority of Yahweh. He came in the authority of Yahweh and spoke these things. Let's see what he says in, this is 18th book of Israel, chapter 24, verse 33. He says, in the most sacred place, he made two cherubim, or two witnesses. Get that word witnesses in your mind, as in the Yahmatria, and actually tag to our number 1074. The two witnesses were tagged to it. In fact, all of the works that began at creation, Remember how we started off? The plan was where? At Abel, right? The plan was at Abel from the very beginning. And he actually tagged this ending to the number of hours. The 17th book of Israel, chapter 45, verse 73. Yahweh put two cherubim there to guard the way to the tree of life. You can see these two, a carving of them on the Ark of the Covenant. The covenant mankind continually has broken for 6,000 years. And you heard a lot about that today. Yahweh put these two cherubim there. It's a little bit mistranslated, but he said the tree of life was shut off until these two cherubim come who will teach, guard, and keep. Okay? Will keep, teach. Okay? Remember what it's talking about? The indisputable teacher? When it said that the indisputable teacher would come, okay? Now, turn over to Deuteronomy 4. Deuteronomy 4. The works began at creation. So we see Deuteronomy chapter 4. We see and have seen the sea of glass. And remember the indisputable teacher who was to come. We read about that in Exodus 19:20. Tie all that together because it's all as one prophecy. And it makes complete sense when you look at it. Here in Deuteronomy 4, notice something. In Deuteronomy 4, look at verse 30. Deuteronomy 4, verse 30. And then we're going to read 32 to 34. Deuteronomy 4, verse 30 says, when you are in distress, and that word distress is the same word as tribulation, okay? All these things will come upon you in the latter days, okay? So we know that the latter days is the time period which we live in right now. When you turn to Yahweh your Father, in other words, when you repent and you convert and obey His voice to us, okay, and like it's always been, hear the words of the last day's witness as revelation is revealed unto us as we just looked at and we saw those things. Now jump down to verse 32. Ask now about the former days, long before your time. From the day that Yahweh created man on the earth. Remember what we just read about how the works? Pastor just said all the works was from the time of creation. Yahweh had it all planned out. He's always figured everything out ahead of time. You know, he didn't make things up at the spur of the moment. You know, he's got it all planned out perfectly. So he says, ask about the former days, long before your time, from the day that Yahweh created man on earth. Ask from one end of the heavens to the other. In fact, as to the whole universe, okay? Has anything so great as this ever come to pass? Or has anything like it ever been heard of? Now remember, we're talking about the last days. Compare this to the last days in verse 30. Verse 33. Has any other people heard the voice of their God? Have you have heard the voice of Yahweh speaking out of the fire? And live. That word lived, it means to remain alive or to give life. Okay? Verse 34. Has any God ever tried to make for himself one nation out of another nation? Remember Moshe 3, verse 2, that Yahweh says, one family only have I used, have I worked with? By testings. You know, our testing, our trials. We're on trial right now, right? We're still on trial in the heavens. And by signs. You know, from heaven, don't forget the donkey cloud. Don't forget all the things that you have seen and experienced in the house of Yahweh. By wonders. You know, reading Yahweh's prophecies and his book, you know, is far greater than any seeing any statue of Mary crying or whatever, right? You know, they call that a wonder and a miracle and so forth. Yahweh's word is what's wonderful. That's the beautiful thing about it. By war, you know, nuclear war, that's something that has never been experienced before. War, nuclear war, and by a mighty hand, by an outstretched arm. Of course, that signifies Yahweh's great power, right? The great power that Yahweh has working with his house. But remember, the gates of hell will not prevail, right? And by great deeds, you know, the house of Yahweh has done more deeds than all of the prophets combined. The message of the kingdom has reached the world. You know, we've done things far greater than any other people before us. And like all these things that Yahweh, your father, did for you in Egypt, right in front of your eyes. And of course, Yahweh is doing wonders in Egypt now. He's doing, you know, the bondage of sin is great. But we see wonderful things through the preaching of Yahweh's message as it's going out in the things that we see. Turn over to Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11. You know, what was this great event in Egypt that he referred to? It was called the Exodus, right? The Exodus. Now, Webster's dictionary says the word Exodus means a departure from a place. A departure from a place. Isaiah 11 is what we want to go to. Now, this departure will also take place again in the last days. Remember, there's nothing new under the sun. Keep that in mind. Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11, let's look at verse 11 and verse 12. Isaiah 11 and 12. It says, it will come to pass, 11:11, it will come to pass in that day that Yahweh will set his hand again the second time. Notice that, second time. To recover who? The remnant. Okay, the remnant of Yahweh's people. Very important, the remnant is the last. Okay, it's the last ones left. That's what the remnant is. And he will set up, verse 12, he will set up an ensign or a sign or a signal for the nations, and they will gather the outcast of Israel. Israel, you know, those who rule as Yahweh rules. That's the called out ones. And gather together the dispersed of Yada. Yada is those who lift up Yahweh, you know, worship Yahweh with uplifted hands, right? From the four corners of the earth, Matthew 24:31. Remember, it says they're scattered, but the elect will be gathered from the four corners of the earth. How? By the sounding of what? The trumpet, right? The sounding of the trumpet. That voice that they hear. It's important to realize here because in this word second, means double. That is, again. It's from 81:38. It means to duplicate, to do again, to repeat, to do the second time. And that's important note because it means to do again the second time, to duplicate. So if this is the second time, then it must be likened to the first time. And the second deliverance must be likened to the first deliverance because it's repeated, it's duplicated. Therefore, whoever was involved with the second time gathering must also have been the one who was involved in the first gathering. You get it? Who was involved? Who was it? Who were we talking about? The voice of Yahweh. Okay? It's got to be that way because that's the way that Yahweh works. Let's look at that time of deliverance. This is the corrected version here. You want to write it down. Jeremiah 23, verse 6 through 8. Jeremiah 23, 6 through 8. It says, in his days, those who reverence Yahweh will be saved. For Israel and his people are the house of Yahweh, notice, in whom they trust. Yahweh will honor those he has called out to be in his house, calling them faithful Israel. Now you can look in Galatians 6:16 for that. And this is the name that he has proclaimed to them at Abel. Where? At Abel. Where did Yochanan say it was going to start? At Abel. It would be fulfilled at Abel, right? Yahweh Zidkenu, Yahweh our righteousness. Verse 7. Therefore, behold, the days come. That's the latter days we're talking about. Says Yahweh. That they will no longer say, as surely as Yahweh lives, who brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But they will say, as surely as Yahweh lives, who brought up and led the house of Israel into the protected place at Abel, that's the Exodus, and from all countries where they have been driven, they will dwell in their own land. Okay? From all countries where they have been driven, they will dwell in their own land. These are the ones, remember, the 2 billion that's going to be coming out of the great tribulation are going to come to Yahweh's house. Now, Remember this too. Ecclesiastes 1 verse 9. This is the book of Yahweh. And it says, that which has already been will be yet again. And that which has already been done is what will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. So what Yahweh has done the first time, he's going to do the second time. And the same one will be involved. Concordant literal version says, what occurred once, it shall occur again. And what was done, it shall be done again. There is nothing at all new under the sun. You know, you can't put limitations on Yahweh. You can't put limitations. Yahweh's not limited. So therefore, the first gathering that was performed by Moshe, the servant of Yahweh, through this communication of the voice of Yahweh, it's the same thing that's done in the second gathering through the same voice that spoke to Moshe. Okay, you see that? Turn over to Numbers chapter 8 and also Exodus 25. Numbers 8 and Exodus 25. Two places there. Numbers 8 and Exodus 25. Numbers 8 and Exodus 25. Now, before we go there, I want to show you something because I'm building up to something here. In Acts 7:38, the emphatic Greek diglot says, and this is he, Moshe, being in the congregation in the desert with the messenger that's speaking to him, notice, in the mountain Sinai, and of the fathers of us who receive oracles living to give to us. So we see here that there's a certain messenger that appeared to Moshe. And by letting Scripture interpret Scripture, we see that this is the indisputable teacher. And keep in mind that Yahweh always spoke to the prophets in either a dream or see a glass vision. In Numbers 12, verse 6, and he said, hear now my words, if there is a prophet among you, I, Yahweh, will reveal myself to him in visions, and I will speak to him in a dream. Okay? I will speak to him in a dream. Now, in Pastor, of course, has had dreams and he's had visions, right? So this verifies who he is. Now, in Exodus 25, we're going to see how Yahweh shows that this was done what we call a sea of glass moment, okay? Exodus 25, verse 40. We started off with this. Exodus 25, verse 40. And see that you make all things according to the pattern which was shown to you on the mountain. Okay? The pattern. I'll show you that word pattern here. The first meaning of the word pattern, one of the meanings, okay, is in Strong's, his Hebrew dictionary 8403, it means a model or resemblance, a form or figure, a likeness, a pattern, a similitude. Now, Webster's Dictionary says similitude is a visible likeness of something. A visible likeness of something. Okay? Now, turn over to Numbers 8. Numbers 8, and look there in verse 4. Okay, Numbers 8 and verse 4. The other word for pattern is shown to you here in Numbers 8, verse 4. And it says, now this is how the lampstand was made. It was made of hammered gold from its base to its blossoms. The lampstand was made exactly like the pattern that Yahweh has shown Moshe. There's a pattern that is there, okay? This word pattern, if you notice, it's a different word. Brown, Driving, Briggs says the Hebrew word 4758, and it means a sight, a phenomenon, a spectacular vision, specifically a supernatural vision, in Ezekiel and Daniel, okay? In Ezekiel and Daniel. Yechezkel and Daniel, they had a sea of glass vision, right? And we know who spoke to them, do we not? We do. So you see that? They all spoke to this man clothed in linen, okay? Now for your notes, if you want to write down Revelations 10, 4 through 6. Revelations 10, 4 through 6. In Daniel 12, 7 through 9. It's Daniel 12, 7 through 9. Revelations 10, 4 through 6, and Daniel 12, 7 through 9, you'll see that they're speaking about the same time event. It's almost word for word. I mean, it's like, and it's the same being they're speaking to, the man clothed in linen. Okay? Now, he was known as the man of Yahweh. I think King James says Gabriel, gives him the name Gabriel, but it means man of Yahweh when you look it up. So the house of Yahweh wasn't established now, remember, until the last days. But the planning of it now, the planning of it was from the beginning, as we saw. The plan was with Yahweh at Abel, right? And with Abel, with Yahweh. Therefore, this man of Yahweh or Yahweh's voice also had to be from, used from the beginning of time, right? You see that? And Israel means he who rules as Yahweh. What better name could that man have than that? You get it? So it's not Yahweh himself. Look over we'll look at Matita here. We're going to look at what's called the Transfiguration. Let me put this up because this will show you a little bit better what took place here. Letting Scripture interpret Scripture. That's all we're using, is using the Scriptures to interpret everything else, right? In Matita 17, verse 5 and verse 9, he says, "While he still spoke, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, there was a voice out of the cloud, which said, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Listen to him. And verse 9, it says, "And as they came down from the mountain, Yeshua warned them, saying, 'Tell this vision to no man until.'" Okay? So, remember, see a glass vision, because that's exactly what it was. Revelation 10:1. Ties it together. And he says, no, because notice, a voice came out of the cloud, right? You see that? Came out of the cloud. So in Revelation 10, you see a mighty Malak, okay? A mighty Malak, that's his voice, okay? And he came down from heaven, which you see it came out of, right? In fact, the word cloud also, you can also translate it as heaven as well. So in the same, saying the same thing. And notice, this mighty Malak came down from heaven. He was clothed with what? A cloud. You know where the voice came out of the cloud? Right? And the rainbow was upon his head, and his face, as it were, the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. That just shows the mighty magnificence of his power and the message that he brings forth. Okay? So you can get an idea there to see what's taking place with that. Now, how do we know that? Well, because Yeshua commanded Yahweh. Remember, In Zechariah 6, verse 11 and 13, Yeshua was commanded by Yahweh to work directly with our overseer. Okay? And Israel Hawkins, who is the anointed one of Yahweh, is and will announce the presence of the coming of Yeshua Messiah. That's been given to him. How awesome is that? Huh? That's been given to this man to do that. And we sit at his feet, and we hear, and we learn, and we listen to this indisputable teacher. Because you can't dispute the word of Yahweh. You know, it's impossible. Let's look at another one here. This is whenever Yeshua, turn over to Yochanan 12, we'll read this one. Yochanan 12, we'll look at verse 27 and 28. Yochanan 12, 27 and 28. Yochanan 12, verse 27 and 28. Yeshua said in verse 27, Yochanan 12:27. "Now I am distressed, but what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, for this purpose I came to this hour." You know, Yeshua knew he was going to die, and he was born and raised for the purpose of that, to be the Messiah. Now look at verse 28. "Father, glorify your name." And then a voice came from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." But the people standing by and heard it, and they said, "It thundered." Others said, "No, a Malak had spoken to him." Now remember, we saw that the word voice, the word thunder and trumpet, they all have the same meaning. Okay? They all have the same meaning. In verse 30, it says, "Yeshua answered and said, 'This voice did not come because of me, but for your sakes.'" Okay? And the Christians think that, you know, that the Creator, you know, mumble-jumbled some words through the clouds and this little dove come floating out and so forth, you know. All this kind of craziness and stuff. But we see here from verse 38. Verse 28 is the key. Notice what he says. Father, glorify your name. And he says, I've glorified it in the past, and I'll also glorify it again. Meaning the future. Well, how did he glorify his name? Well, let's look and see. In Yochanan, verse 12, verse 28, he said, Father, glorify your name. And then a voice came from heaven. In Deuteronomy 5, verse 24, it says, And you said, Surely Yahweh your Father has shown us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice. Notice the glory and the voice are connected. And verse 49 is the key. You are my servant, O Israel, through whom I will be glorified. You got it? That voice that glorified Yahweh's name came forth from them hearing the witness. All right. So letting interpret scripture, we see, you know, the interesting thing, you know, it says a voice from heaven. That word heaven, it also means sky and universe and the place where the clouds are and also where thunder and lightning is produced. And it actually comes from the word mountain. So it actually shows the authority of that voice came forth from the mountain, which is, of course, the house of Yahweh, right? We know that. You got to put all these things together and it makes sense. Now, there's only one Malak that carries the authority that was sent by Yahweh. And that's what we see here in Revelation 18, verse 4. And I heard that same one, the only one called to speak for Yahweh. See that? The only one called to speak for Yahweh in the last days, saying, Come out of her, my people, so you do not partake of her sins, and so you do not receive her for her plagues. You know, there have been so many sermons, newsletters, prophetic words, all this warning that pastor continues to say, come out of her, come out of her, come out of her. The warning is going forth and going forth. Now, remember this man of Yahweh, or the voice of Yahweh. Turn over to Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. The voice of Yahweh, you know, he wasn't alive at this time in the beginning, but his image was used in a sea of glass, remember. And Yahweh was able to do this. Of course, Yahweh can do anything. You know, he knew each of us before we were born. Remember that. So he used this image of his witness in his seed to teach others, even Adam and Eve and Abel. So what was he teaching? Well, in Isaiah 58, verse 1, it says, Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Now, when you tie that into Revelations, all those that we saw in Revelation, all of those scriptures together, you should be able to see that. Notice he says, show my people. Notice he's showing his people, Yahweh's people, their transgressions, and the house of Jacob, their sins. And that's exactly what we read in Isaiah 49 that pastor has to do. That is his commissioned work, to bring forth Israel and also, remember, the tribes of Jacob back unto Yahweh. So this trumpet calling of what our sins bring upon us, it's the same message that the voice of Yahweh was heard from the beginning. He taught Adam, and he taught Abel, of course, who corrected his brother and ended up getting murdered for it. But we've seen that Yahweh's not the actual one. He never used his own voice. He never used his own voice, but his anointed servant was used to speak throughout the time of man. Okay, and understanding that, you should understand more of the meaning behind Zechariah 6 when it says that, you know, behold, Yeshua is told, behold this man. Okay, behold this man named the branch, and how they work together. It's his messenger. Well, look here in Daniel 10:21. Daniel 10:21, it says, But I will show you that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none who holds with me in these things. And the correction of that is, But I will show you that which is noted in the book of Yahweh, the truth. And there is none who holds with me in these things except Israel, the priest who is like me, who teaches you those perfect laws. Now, the word holds, according to Brown, Drive, and Briggs, is 2388. This kind of blew me away because you look down and it means of a sound of a trumpet. The sound of a trumpet. Exodus 19, 19, 19, 16, we saw where it says, it grew louder and louder. So therefore, this voice is saying that there is no one who sounds the trumpet. This verse is saying, there's no one who sounds the trumpet with me, with these things, except Israel. Except Israel. He's the only one. He is the trumpet. He is the voice of Yahweh. You can't deny that. You know, you might think, well, that's pretty bold. Well, turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. We'll show you the reason why we can say it with such confidence and know the truth of Yahweh's word. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, we're going to look at verse 9 and 10. Ecclesiastes 1, verse 9 and 10. He says, verse 9, that which has already been will yet be again. That which has already been done is what will be done again. And there is nothing new under the sun. You can't find anything new under the sun. Okay? Verse 10, is there anything which can be said, look, this is new? It has already been in ancient times well before us. That's the reason why the last will be first. Okay? Now look over to Ecclesiastes 3, right across the page, verses 14 and 15. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 14. I know that whatever Yahweh does, it will be forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken away from it. Yahweh acts, and men will give him reverence. Think about the sea of glass. Think about the visions and stuff that was seen and so forth, okay? Because Yahweh acts, and men give him reverence. Yahweh leads and guides. Everything is taking place through his entire plan, from the beginning in Abel to the end in Abel, okay? And Yahweh requires an accounting of what is past, okay? He requires an accounting of what's past, what's actually been shown in the past. In other words, he expects us to use the past as an example. Like it says in Corinthians, all these things have written down for us as an example, okay? So let's go back to the very beginning. With all those things in mind, remember where it says in Genesis 3:8, in the book of Yahweh, then on that day they heard the way of Father Yahweh according to the word of Yahweh being proclaimed in the garden. So Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of Yahweh among the trees of the garden. Now the King James Version says, and they heard the voice of Yahweh. Okay, they heard the voice of Yahweh. And remember, the word voice means to call aloud, it's a voice or sound or thunder. All these same words were used by Moshe, Yeshua, and the prophets. Okay? So they heard the voice of Yahweh. Now, remember and look at the excitement that Pastor has in when he says this. In Exodus 18, the 18th book of Israel, in chapter 20, he says, oh man, it's so magnificent. It's hard to get it all at once. I think if I can get it planted in your mind, it will start growing. It's a growing process because from now on, you will start seeing this. You'll realize you're on a wavelength, so to speak, with Yahweh himself. The workers who Yahweh sends in a vision or in reality, because now we're born, we're the ones that Yahweh has planned from the beginning. From the beginning, you were planned. He knew you before you were born. He used your image to teach Adam and Eve. He used that voice, the voice of Yahweh. He was using you before you were born. That is your makeup. Yahweh's prophets could actually see you, the work that you're doing, and the service. The service. Oh, man. You know, real quickly, look over to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, because this is a great place to read here. Hebrews chapter 3. it just boggles the mind when you think about Yahweh's plan, you know, and you see what he has planned out for us. Hebrews 3, verse 13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, so that none of you might be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers with Yahshua if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Not like it was, as it says in the provocation, of the time when the forefathers wouldn't bend an ear to the Oki. You know, when the Oki spoke to the prophets, they just would not listen. But we can't afford to do that today, you know. And the voice of Yahweh, notice, is connected with Yahshua, because you look at verse 14, it says, partakers with Yahshua. Okay? So today, Yahweh's voice is still blasting. He's still blasting his warning out in the world, okay? And we need to end with this verse here, but I was looking for a picture to put with it and open it. And this month's prophetic word had one that really went with it. It's the bread bag. You see what it says? The glory of Yahweh has filled his house in the last days because of Israel. It's the same thing that we have been covering about the glory of Yahweh, the voice of Yahweh. Daniel 6:10-6, it says, and the house of Yahweh, the people of Yahweh, was established. These are the people from the nations, the people who were joined to Yahweh, and they followed the witness who brought forth a fountain of knowledge to all men. You remember the indisputable teacher who would bring forth and have knowledge of all things? And the fountain of knowledge the witness gave was the word of Yahweh that he spoke at Abel. Okay? And that's exactly where it began at. Remember, Yahweh said, in my plan would be at Abel. It would be finished at Abel. That's all part of Yahweh's great and awesome plan. Yahweh bless you. If you please stand, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.